Welcome, everybody, to the Triathlon Age Group Journey. My name is Jay Cunet, your host with Jillian Carlson and Matt Summer. We are age group triathletes living that dream of crossing finish lines while we work, balance family, and just enjoy the lifestyle of triathlon. We're really excited tonight to talk to John Mayfield. Some of you may know him, but we will definitely dive into his story and his journey into triathlon and beyond and into coaching as well. So really excited to talk to John. With that being said, why don't we get rolling? Matt, Jillian, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's been a great week. I think the big thing I want to hear about, Jay, is I know you towed the line today, man. I think it was your, as you called it, a rust buster. I think there wasn't any rust on your engine based on what I saw. So how'd the race go?
Yeah, I'm pretty satisfied with today. It was my C race. We only tapered 2 days going into it, so wasn't quite sure how I'd feel, but it turned out to be a good day. I had a really solid swim. The water was 67, so it wasn't terrible. It was actually pretty nice. I felt pretty good in the swim. It probably measured a little short. I swam a 22-minute 1500, so I don't think that's in my wheelhouse. I think that's a little short, but it was a really long run out of transition, and my feet were killing me by the end of it. So definitely got to build some calluses up for transition runs. Bike was solid. I left transition third and then passed somebody on the bike and came into T2 second place overall. And then went out on the run feeling really good. I feel like I really balanced the bike. And I think I had said out loud at past podcast, my one and only goal today was to run a sub 40 minute 10K off the bike. And I was feeling good. So it was on track. Unfortunately, right in the middle of the first loop was a U-turn that I missed because it wasn't labeled yet. I don't know whether they missed it or not or was missing. I ended up running about a half mile out of down the road further than I was supposed to. Stopped, asked volunteers. They didn't know what was going on. I turned around, ran back. And that took me about 3 minutes, and I lost two places with guys passing me by at that point. So on the second loop, wouldn't you know, the U-turn was well labeled with cones and a big sign that there's a U-turn here. So I'm not even sure the guy that won, who, by the way, no one saw the whole day. He was 10 minutes ahead of us down the road. He swam a 17-minute 1500. I was only 30 seconds slower than him on the bike, but boy, he cracked out. I think it was a 34-minute 10K. So the guy was cruising. Pretty impressive. Anyhow, it was a great day. We had a lot of Team Zoot folks out there, so we had a lot of fun. One of our guys was grilling burgers afterwards. It was the triathlon family thing. Nice. So it was a good day. And Dad was out there, Sherpa, awesome, as always. And my mom and her friend Ted were there cheering me on. So a lot of support, a lot of fun, a lot of love. The Awana was real today, so it was good stuff.
That was the Kinetic Multisport Series in Virginia. It was the General Smallwood Olympic, correct?
Yes. Yeah, they have an Olympic and a sprint, and they sold out. So it was a full race. It was great turnout. Kinetic does great job, and they run from Virginia all the way up to Maryland, Pennsylvania, Delaware, and I think they have a Jersey race, or they used to have one.
Sure, they have one in North Carolina also. North Carolina, yeah.
Good, so. Yeah. Now, you know what? They had their huge Kinetic Cup trophy sitting on the table, and I thought to myself, hey, maybe next year, that's what I'll go for, but anyway, still thinking about it.
Those little series, things like that, are a lot of fun. There was a series down here, the North Carolina Triathlon Series, before I started dabbling in like Ironman branded races, and it was so much fun. Week in, week out, you'd get out there, and this was back in like late 2000s, and there would be a sprint 1 week, 2 weeks later an Olympic, 2 weeks later another sprint, and it was so much fun to compete in those series and just see the same people, toe the line, watch the fitness gains over the season, see who had the longevity. It was all over the state of North Carolina. It was so much fun. I miss doing that, and every year I'm like, all right, I want to get back to this, but the unfortunate piece is corporate triathlon has taken away from these small series, and there just aren't the number of races anymore, and they're just not there. So I kind of miss that. So listeners, that's why it's important to support your local race directors, your local races. That's how we all started triathlon, were these smaller races. for the most part. So keep going to them, support them, do the bigger races, but just make sure you get out there and support mm-hmm. our race directors like Richard Swore with Trivium.
Yeah.
I signed up for my first local Olympic in June. So
nice.
For this year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Glad you're ready to go. You were not sure if you were going to race until after your trip, right?
Correct. Yeah. So excited. Just Olympic, but yeah, it'll be fun.
Well, I didn't race, but I got out with a bunch of my buddies today. We call ourselves Soder, Suns Out, Tongues Out Racing. So I got out with three of my buddies today. We went out for a nice 3-hour ride. It was good. It was fun. We're moving. It wasn't a lot of wind out there, and I didn't feel like we were getting a lot of speed with very little watts. We got 62 miles in like 255, which we were moving. And elevation too, which was crazy. I don't know. Maybe the time in the laboratory over the winters paid off. Felt good. Felt strong. Low heart rate. I'm excited. Triple T. I love that race. Glutton for Punishment coming up in just under a month. Yeah. Should be exciting.
Yeah. I guess for me, just, you know, I get running a little bit more, which has been nice. Squeezing some in during volleyball, hit in the pool a little bit of a personal milestone. So nothing exciting for you guys because you're all fast swimmers, but finally got my 100 under 130. So pretty excited for that. Awesome. Now to keep
make
doing
it a habit. Make it a habit.
So So anyhow, nothing too earth shattering, but you know, I'll take the wins when I can get them. So
nice. John, how about you, man? What you been up to?
So I guess we'll talk a little bit about it. For me, this year has been a little different. Been doing some things a little differently, but not so much racing yet, even not so much training. I did every year for the last several years. I've ended the year racing Clash Daytona early December, and that kind of extends the season late in the year. So I kind of take December off, go through Christmas, New Year's, and just don't really train, don't worry about the diet, things like that. And then New Year's comes around and I'm ready to hit the ground running. This year, not so much. There was a lot of stuff going kind of outside of training, which I guess we'll talk a little bit about that. And it just really hadn't been there. And at some point I just had to say, okay, it's not there. Kind of gave myself grace and just remove that stress and frustration. So I'm inching back. So I actually got in an hour on the trainer this morning, thanks to some good friends that kind of virtually dragged me along. And yeah, so I got an hour in this morning, felt good. I did get in a few sessions over the last week, but this is the first week in a long time. So yeah, trying to see what I can put together. The year is young. Jay, you're way ahead of me with already a race completed. I'm like happy to have a training session completed and you've already got a race under your belt. But the season is young, so hoping to put some fitness back and see what I can pull off for later this year.
It's funny you brought up Clash. Races like Clash being late in December can stretch this season out so far. And mentally, it's just gonna be really exhausting. John, you mentioned just having those highs and those lows of letting the body recover, the mind recover. And, you know, like when I talk to some of my athletes that have these early spring races and then all of a sudden they're like, hey, how about Clash? I really try to sit there and I'm like, listen, this is really stretching this out. Are you sure with family, with kids, with everything you got going on? Like right now it sounds great, but what's life look like then? It's going to be dark. Can you go do 3-hour rides? It's going to be dark earlier. Can you get out and run? And then they start to reflect and are like, wow, you know, it can really weigh on you and really cause you to maybe start to lose some of that passion, enjoyment, and excitement because it feels like a job, you know?
And that was my season for the past two years. They were really long seasons. I started both years with 70.3 Texas in April. And then last year, you and I at Ironman Des Moines, which was not too long after that. So kind of starting the year training 70.3 in Ironman and then ending the year with Ironman Florida in November and then the 70.3 in December. So kind of started the year with some long course, ended the year with long course. And I did that 2 years in a row. So I did two late season Ironman the year before and started off the year in April with that 70.3 in Galveston. So 2 years in a row I guess a lot of it was maybe some post pandemic pent up one registrations. It took me a while to work through all those deferred registrations, but I actually had, you know, from a fitness standpoint, pandemic was good for me. I was able to buckle down and I really had some good fitness. Had a couple races that was really frustrated that I was ready to go on. And then in Texas, we had a few opportunities to race. I did 170.3 in 2020, but afterwards. So in 21 and 22, I was definitely ready to cross some finish lines.
All right. So Matt, want to kick it off with the quote so then we can get in and hear more about John's story?
Yeah, definitely. I didn't even have to think twice about which quote to share this week. I think just the little bit of conversation we've had already maybe echoes the importance of this one. Not quite as philosophical as the past couple weeks. I know you guys are probably thanking God right now for that. So let's bring a little humor to the game. The quote I came with this week was, "Watch out for the little things. Even a small leak will sink a great ship." Whoever said, "Don't sweat the small things," never had a splinter. Like the littlest things, a paper cut, a splinter can just wreak havoc. On so many different levels, I see this applicable in life. I mean, what may start out as you think, oh, it's just a little thing. Oh, you know, I'm just cutting 5 minutes off my bike ride. Or, oh, I'm only adding 10 extra minutes. You know, whether it's extra or not enough, in all areas of our life, it's all about moderation. Too much, too little. Doesn't turn out right. I always go back to racing is like baking brownies. If you follow the recipe, they taste damn good. If you put too much of one thing in, not enough of another, it doesn't turn out right and you don't know what you're going to get. So I always tell my athletes, we're baking brownies. Go out there and make some damn good brownies.
There's a great quote from medicine that follows that. It's too little is ineffective and too much is fatal, regardless of what it is. It could be Tylenol. Too little ineffective, too much is fatal. So it's about finding that optimum amount.
Absolutely. So yeah, you don't want those little leaks.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, think of diet. People that struggle with diet of, just one cookie.
Right.
You know, my favorite, because I'll have 10, you know, or there was a time where I was really focused on the amount of sugar I was eating. And, you know, the difference of a day with holding yourself to 60 grams of sugar versus 120, you know, it just those little things do. If you can really commit to it and watch those little things, you know, you might cut the weight that you've been looking to cut or, you know, whatever it is that you're challenged to do. Track the pennies and the dollars will take care of themselves. There's another version of it, right?
Yeah. I even go to relationships on this one. All too often, we get complacent. You know, marriages with children. The children start to get a little bit older. We don't act quite as interested or maybe have as much conversation. Even with your personal relationships with your spouse, acknowledging them, recognizing them, haircuts, maybe just telling them they look nice today or thanking them for just the small little gestures that we take so much for granted. Those can create small little holes that over time will sink a great ship.
Yeah, I thought you said you were having a funny one or a fun one.
Yeah, we got pretty serious.
All I can think of is all the little leaks that I feel like I'm just trying to plug in every little aspect of my life right now. And yeah, so I'm in the middle.
You're drowning? Is that what you're saying?
I'm trying not to. So I'm trying to figure out the root of the leaks instead of just plugging them because I'm running out of fingers. So
see, that's why I hold my head up when I swim because I like oxygen. That way I can just keep getting it, you know?
No, that didn't click, but that's okay.
Anyway, yeah. It is what it
Anyhow,
is.
Yeah.
But why don't we jump on in? I'm super excited about having John Mayfield here. John and I became friends back in 2018. Long story short, Jay Cunet actually is who introduced us. Jay was actually an ambassador with TriDot back in 2018. Jay and I, as everyone knows, reconnected through Facebook, triathlon, obviously went to middle school, high school together. And Jay came to me and just kind of said, "Hey, listen, this training platform I'm using is looking for coaches. Would you be interested?" And I'd never heard of the platform. And I said, "Sure, what the heck?" Well, next thing I know, I get a phone call from somebody named John Mayfield. And, you know, I guess John and Jay had chatted a little. And John, I guess, had done some background research on me and was like, "Hey, listen, you know, I saw you pretty fast. Like, you look like you know what you're doing. It sounds like you got good credentials. Why don't you check it out?" I was in the middle of training for Ironman Maryland, like 6 weeks out from the race. And I think he even agreed. It was like, now's not the time to try something new. Like, get through Maryland and then give it a shot. We started to talk a little bit more frequently. And once I recovered from Maryland and really started diving into it, I was like, wow, there's something here. So the rest is history. John and I have worked side by side together. gosh, I guess coming up on 5 years. It's hard to believe that, man. But I've been fortunate enough to toe the line with John at a race. So that was a lot of fun and definitely have learned a lot from John. I think he's made me a better coach. He's given me the tools necessary to elevate my coaching business. A lot of what I do emulates some of the things I've learned from John. So I'm just super excited to have you here, John. You're a great friend. I'm excited to hear from you, hear about your journey from corporate America to triathlon and to your latest development of Tribe Triathlon Training. So welcome.
I appreciate that. That's all great. And yeah, it's been a pleasure getting to know you, working with you, racing with you. As you were talking about training, you were training for Ironman Maryland. I had this just memory that out of nowhere, we did not have the chance to get together. So I was attending Ironman Maryland that year. And the first time we actually saw each other was I was on the sidelines. You were out there on the run course. And I think you spotted me before I spotted you. And did you crash?
I crashed twice that day. I did not have a good day. Yeah.
So I think your kit was torn and you were bleeding. Oh, yeah. And then I heard my name and was like, hey, it's Matt. And I was like, yeah. So that was our first our first introduction. And then so we've raced twice together at least.
Yeah.
Alcatraz with Jillian, which was that was just a super cool experience. Matt left me far behind, but I did get to spend some time on the run course with Jillian, which was awesome. Took me a while to run her down, had that rabbit out there. And then, last year, like I said, at Ironman Des Moines. So that was super cool. We finished up the bike together. And then once the really high heat index caught up to both of us, brutal. We spent a little bit of time, walking together right towards the end. I think we were, 23, 24 miles in. And, it's some super cool memories of racing. And then, it's been great working with you, on the coaching side. And again, I've certainly learned from you and it's been a great partnership all along.
Well, thank you. Awesome.
Yeah. Very cool.
John, I'd love to hear all your story from beginning. Like, how did you even get into triathlon? And then we'll go from there.
Yeah. So my story is like a lot. So I guess take a little step back. 2007, I've been married for about 5 years, had my third child was on the way. Yes, I have sequential children. I have Irish triplets. They are now 16, 17, and 18. My oldest is weeks away from graduation. So this was way back when they were actually, my third wasn't even born yet. I came out of high school and where I was active and just kind of fell into the whole, I was going to college. I'd started my career, started a family, all that. And just got sedentary. And what I got away with eating in high school, was catching up to me. So I was like 230 pounds. And I was like, this just isn't good. I always say I'm a bit of a New Year's resolution exemption or kind of one off because I went to the gym on New Year's Day 2007 and I went like 87 out of 90 days the first day of the year. And I dropped like 20, 30 pounds and just kind of fell in love with fitness. But I was just going to the gym. My first career was in banking and just, I guess, kind of cliche. I played a lot of golf and I was really into golf. And so it's like, well, I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to, do core and arms and legs and the things that are going to help me hit a golf ball further. And just kind of fell in love with it. So I fast forward a couple of years, I'm on this trip with a friend and I was active, I was fit, but I'd never done anything longer than cross country when I was in school. So like 3 miles. I just say, I'll do this half marathon with you. No problem. We got back and touched base with another buddy of ours. And he was actually a runner. He'd done a couple marathons. He's like, yeah, I'm in. I've also signed up for this triathlon. Y'all should do that. And I said, yeah, I'm in. And kind of like a lot, like I didn't even know what a triathlon was. I didn't have a bike. Right. I just said, yeah, I'm down. So signed up for it. And my dad had a road bike that he'd bought a couple of years before and put like 100 miles on and decided, the saddle just hurt. And, so I went and borrowed that bike and fell in love with it, man. Just really enjoyed the triathlon. I had a good time. I did a couple half marathons. So that triathlon I did was late in the fall. It was just about the last opportunity to race, but then a couple half marathons that winter. And then, come the following spring, man, I was all in. So all of these connections were through the youth group at the church that I attended. So I worked with the youth. The trip we were on was like, it was a mission trip to Boston. The guy who, I guess he didn't even technically ask me. He just said he was doing the half marathon, was the youth pastor, and he and I were good friends. The guy who we asked to do the triathlon, he was part of the group as well. So kind of word got around in this group that we were doing this triathlon, and a couple different people said, well, you guys need to meet Cindy Reeves, who was also going to the church. And I told my wife, she's like, oh, I know Cindy. We've worked together in the nursery. And just, I guess,
watch out.
Good event. we had recently moved to a new neighborhood, and Cindy and her family were moving like basically the other side of the road. So we met Cindy, and of course, if you've ever had any interactions with Cindy Reeves, you know how passionate and all she is. So they had been at a race and met Jeff Boer, who's the founder and CEO of TriDot. At the time, he was growing a triathlon team that was faith-based called Try for Him. So he's in the Dallas area, and Cindy and her husband Ronnie were interested in starting a chapter in the Houston area where we are. So that was kind of new, kind of fresh. So that was kind of my introduction into triathlon. You know, I got to know them. We lived close together, and I spent the next several years multiple times a week over there at their house in their garage. So we were initially just kind of doing our own thing, and then pretty quickly therein, there was an option to get a training plan. And I remember at first, Ronnie was doing it. He was all in. I was like, man, I don't know about this. I just kind of want to go swim, bike, and run. But very quickly, I was like, yeah, I'm in. And that was a training plan provided by Coach Boo, who I am one of the few who was actually coached by Jeff Boer in the early days. And that training plan would eventually become what is TriDot. So I still have some of my original training plans. Back then, they were sent on Excel spreadsheets because, you know, the website was far from what it was. The app was far from what it is now. So being algorithm based and all, it was on spreadsheets. So it's kind of cool. I still have some of my training plans from like 2010. But yeah, so that's kind of how I got in. And then from there, I got a little bit better every year. And I was a sponge back then. There was a lot of great information. There were some great podcasts, and I was just soaking it all in. And I did my first Ironman in 2011. And then that was kind of becoming the thing more so. At the time, not everyone in triathlon had done Ironman. It kind of feels a little different these days. But more and more of my training partners and buddies were doing it, those Try for Him members and other folks in the Houston area. And I was like, here's my experience. Here's what I learned. And you know, I was like, that sounds a lot like coaching. And so I started talking with Jeff, and it was kind of funny. Initially, Jeff put me off for like, I want to say it was more than a year. At the time, Try for Him had a pro team, and as we know, professional triathletes struggle to make a good income. So that's what Jeff was really trying to do, was to provide those Try for Him pro team members the opportunity to earn income from coaching. And, you know, I was not in it for the money, but eventually I wore him down and I became a coach. And, you know, kind of, I guess from there, the rest is history on the coaching side. So, yeah, that was kind of how I got in. And for me, it was just kind of a natural progression into doing more triathlon, getting better, getting faster. You know, that first time on the podium is addictive. And then from there, just wanting to share my knowledge, share my passion. So that was kind of how I got into coaching.
John, you've had several athletes that you've helped coach to world championships, 70.3 and Dakona. What was that feeling the first time you had an athlete qualify for Kona? That's a feather in the cap. So talk to me about that first time.
Man, it was awesome. And it was, you know, I'd been close several times. I'd worked with some athletes that were, you know, there, and it's so hard to qualify for Kona, especially when there are so few slots. And, you know, it's not like qualifying for the Boston Marathon. Well, all you have to do is go and do a time of X. It's, you don't know what you have to do. So, it's not like, well, I have to go out and I'm going to do this pace and that pace, and I'm going to do a time of Y, and that's going to get me there. It's like, no, you have to race the field. And sometimes, I mean, you never know who's going to show up. And especially now that we don't have the mass start, you don't even necessarily know where they are in relation to you. You guys can be shoulder to shoulder, and you know, that person next to you could be minutes behind, minutes ahead, and you really wouldn't have a way to know. So it kind of complicates the race strategy. Because in the mass start days, you knew, and you just had to finish 1 second ahead of that person. All you had to do was beat them in the sprint at the end. But now, you know, that may just be adding on, or it may not be enough. So, you know, I was close several times. And for me as a coach, it was probably like an athlete. Most athletes do that several times. They come up short, they learn, they come back better. And yeah, it was an amazing experience. I was fortunate enough to be on site at the race with the athlete. And yeah, it was amazing just tracking all day, watching the race develop. And yeah, it's nerve wracking because it's, you know, it's such a long race. I mean, even for these guys that are winning their age group, it's, you know, it's, you're out there watching for, you know, 9, 10, 11 hours. And, you know, it's a marathon. It's several hours that you're, and yeah, things can happen. You know, it's, you know, 112 miles on the bike. It's 26 miles of running and you never know, you know, what's going to happen. But, you know, I'll say, and really what I think it is I've never been one. I never take anything from my athletes. You know, it's always about the athlete. It's about their hard work. And oftentimes they're very generous. They're kind. They say, you know, I couldn't have done it without you, but it's really like, I believe as a coach, it's a backseat role. It's a support role, but it's really about the athlete. It's their consistency. It's their hard work, but you know, it certainly is rewarding. And I'll say that, yeah, it's super cool when you have athletes that qualify for those world championship races. It's super cool to coach them to those races. But I'll say for me, it's equally as rewarding with some of those other folks, you know, that maybe their goal is just to finish a race, or, you know, they're qualifying for Kona, maybe finishing a 70.3. And I'll say, you know, I've been there obviously more times than those world championship races, but very, very rewarding as well. You know, it's everyone has their own abilities, their own potential and their own goals, own restraints and constrictions. And so it's when people are able to maximize that and when they're able to kind of do what you said, when they're able to combine their potential and their beliefs, and when they start believing in themselves, that's incredibly rewarding. And you know, I've often said what we do as triathlon coaches isn't important. We're not curing cancer. We're not, you know, doing anything important like that. But what we do matters, and it really does have an impact on people in their lives, their self-esteem, their beliefs, and you know, it's I know for those athletes, it's incredibly rewarding. It's building them up. And, you know, kind of like we talked about, it's to have that as my job is just amazing. You know, I as much as I would love to be out there, you know, finding the cure for cancer, that's just not me. So I guess I'll do what I can do to make a difference in people's lives. And that's really what it is for me. That's really what is so rewarding. That is what I'm passionate about. That's what, you know, gets me out of bed in the morning and makes Monday mornings just as good as Friday afternoon.
So, John, when you moved into coaching, did you end up cutting back on your racing, or do you still compete as much now this year? I know you already talked about this year's a little bit different, but, you know, for the last couple of years, did you continue racing at the same fervor as before you started coaching? Did you find you had to cut back, or were you able to balance yourself and your athletes?
So when I first started coaching, I was still working full time in my first career. As I mentioned, I was a senior vice president of a bank, and, you know, working, you know, 40 plus hours a week doing that, focusing on that and doing some coaching on the side. You know, I was very fortunate to have a very flexible job. The hours there were flexible, and I was able to manage both the job there and coaching athletes. So, and I started relatively early in my racing career. I think I'd only been racing 2 or 3 years when I first started coaching some athletes. So I was still very much in that kind of honeymoon phase of doing lots of races. I think I'd only done one Ironman when I first started coaching. And so I would say early on, yeah, I was still racing quite a bit, and my portfolio wasn't huge. You know, I didn't have a ton of athletes. I was still growing into that. And I would say there've been some seasons where focus has definitely shifted. Early on in that coaching career, as I began coaching more and more, I did take a step back from racing as much. And then I guess, kind of long story short, at a certain point, I transitioned over from working in the banking career to working full time with TriDot. And there was a phase there where for a couple of years, we were so busy doing everything, growing the business, marketing the business, building out the TriDot app, that it was tough. And I was doing a lot of traveling. I was traveling to the majority of the Ironman races in the US every year, again, which was a ton of fun and a great experience. I got to, that's where I met you for the first time, Jillian, at Coeur d'Alene a couple of years ago. And so it was kind of almost like on tour, and got to just experience a lot of great things and be there on course with a lot of amazing athletes. And for me, that was really fulfilling. But yeah, there's always kind of been that competitive itch. And so, like I said, over the last couple of years, I raced quite a bit. this year we'll kind of see what comes together. But it's kind of ebb and flowed over time. I still love to race. I love being in race shape. I love the satisfaction of crossing the finish line. But I also, I would say probably even more so, I really enjoy working with athletes so that they can achieve this. Unfortunately, you know, they're not mutually exclusive. So, it's great to be able to do both.
Take a step backwards real quick. How did that conversation go with your wife when you came home one day from your job as a vice president of a bank and said, you know, babe, I think I want to quit and become a full-time triathlon coach? Did she look at you like you were crazy? How did that go? I mean, here's your passion that clearly is lighting, you know, igniting in your soul. But then you have this job that clearly is providing for a house, a family, paying bills, putting food on the table, shelter, and a lifestyle, if you will. How'd that go?
So I was a senior VP. I wasn't just a VP. I was a senior.
Oh, wow.
I got business cards still to prove it. I love that you asked this question, and I love the answer. My wife was so amazingly supportive. She blew me away. So it was a season that I was in, and I actually didn't resign the bank to become a full-time triathlon coach. It was actually very much through a season that I was talking with the CEO of Tridot. And at the time, really, he was the only, I would say, person that was really focusing on the business side and the app itself. The other two employees were Cindy, who was doing just athlete support, and then the CEO's sister did all the administrative stuff, and they're both still basically running the company. But it was Jeff kind of doing everything. And through those years, Jeff and I had a lot of conversations just about, again, I was in business development for the bank. That's what I did. And we had a lot of conversations of how do we grow the business? Where do we go? What do we do to the app? What are the features that we want to integrate? And actually before that, we had a discussion about growing coaches. And so I was actually coming on, I came on in a fractional capacity as director of coaching. And that's when I first started recruiting coaches. So I was coaching, I was recruiting coaches, but this was still just a fractional job that I was still doing during my career. And then there came a time where I just had this feeling within me. It was like a welling up. And obviously I've never been pregnant, but that's what I kind of compared it to. It's almost like this pregnancy. Like I felt like at some point there was going to be this relief point, but I've got three kids. So I've been through it with my wife three times. And I know when that ninth month, she was just so ready. It's like she felt like she was going to burst, and she was just ready for it to happen. And that's kind of where I was. And I told my wife, I was like, you know, I don't know exactly what this is going to look like, but I don't see myself in my banking career much longer. And I said, you know, I really feel like there's something here in triathlon. I feel like there's a future there. And her response was, quit. And like,
wow.
And that's where she was so amazing, so awesome. And I was just like, taken aback. Like I was like, time out. Like I'm talking about maybe in the coming months or maybe even coming years. Like this is not something I'm doing today. But around that same time, I actually had a trip where I was going to spend some time in Dallas with Jeff. And I told him the same thing. And I said, this is not an ultimatum or anything, but I don't feel like I'm going to be in banking much longer. I don't know exactly what that looks like. But over the course of that weekend, we ended up working it out where I actually did go back and resign from the bank. Wow. And, you know, over the next several years did just so much cool, amazing things. It really was so special, so unique to be part of I definitely not the genesis. Jeff had done a ton of heavy lifting in those years prior, but to come along when I did, basically as the second person, and what we've done over the years, you know, you guys have all seen it. Mm-hmm. It's been amazing and led to a very fulfilling career, amazing experiences there, met and worked with amazing people, both from the Tridot staff to the Tridot ambassadors, the Tridot athletes, our partners. You know, it's like I had a pinch me moment last year because I was sitting at Age Group Nationals and I was hosting a discussion with Mark Allen and McKeely Jones. And like, it's like, you know, the arguably the greatest male and the greatest female triathlete of all time. And here I am sitting next to them asking them questions. And then they're even like chiming back, well, what do you think? I was like, I don't know. I'm just an imposter up here. And just it's, again, just to have the opportunity to travel to the races, to work with the athletes that I have, to make the friendships I have. It's been absolutely just amazing.
That's awesome. Well, we just heard a lot about like you as a coach and the professional, but let's hear about John Mayfield, the athlete. You've raced a ton of races, probably all over the U.S. I know you travel to a lot of the races. You've been to a lot of races. You've had athletes that have done all the races all over. What is the one race that you're most proud of or your most favorite experience that you've been to?
Oh, man. I could probably have an easier time picking my favorite kid. I'm competitive and I love to compete and perform. I really think what triathlon is about for me, and I think for a lot of people too, it's about the people that you do it with. We didn't talk about our finish times at Des Moines. We talked about riding together and doing the running together. Same thing at Alcatraz with spending some time out there on the run course with Jillian. And I have so many. I did one Ironman where I kind of went by myself and it was a PR, and it was a great day, but I would say it's not up there with my favorite races. Gosh, there's so many. Ironman Florida would probably be my favorite race. I've done it 4 times. I've gone almost every year for the past 10 years. It's a special, special race. And I've had the opportunity to race there with, it was my first. My good friend, kind of like Matt and Jay, this was a guy that I reconnected with. Again, part of that church group early on. Somebody I grew up playing Little League baseball with. He went on to play professional baseball. And kind of, we just totally independently got into triathlon at the same time. But he and I trained together and we went step for step in that Ironman marathon across the finish line together. So, I mean, that was incredibly special.
Yeah.
And yeah, just I've had so many good memories from Ironman Florida, but you know, all of them have something special, something unique. And yeah, that's a tough question. But you know, if I had to pick a race, maybe not so much a individual event, Ironman Florida is probably my favorite.
Yeah. No, I love your answer to that because you're 100% right. Like maybe it's a venue that's your favorite venue, but I think every race we do, you learn. And you learn something about yourself as an athlete. You learn something about yourself as a person, not just as an athlete, about having to dig deep, face adversity, and just who you are, your character, your integrity. On the flip side of that, is there a race that you just fought adversity all day long that just really helped you grow as an individual that you look back on and you're just like, man, that was a tough, tough day, but I got through it?
Yeah, several of those. Des Moines last year, when you and I raced together, that was a tough day. It was a June race, but I was hoping for at least a relatively cool day. I live and train on the Texas Gulf Coast. So, you know, I am about as heat adapted as anyone and can continue in that. But, you know, that really didn't start until the run. The swim was good. The bike kind of caught me off guard. I broke one of my own cardinal rules and I didn't go look at the course. I didn't go drive it before race day and it just wasn't what I was expecting. And then to get out on that marathon course and have it be so hot. And yeah, I mean, I feel like I put forth a pretty good effort while out there, but you know, it obviously wasn't what I was going for. Back to my favorite race of Ironman Florida in 2021, there were some crazy currents and riptides that I had done Ironman Maryland about 6 weeks prior, and I swam like a 1:12 or something like that, which is about my Ironman swim time. 1:10 to 1:15 is kind of where I generally land. But that swim at Ironman Florida 6 weeks later, I was like a 1:50 or something like that. Wow. It was just insane. Yeah. It was like swimming in an endless pool. It was going out away from the beach was great. I made the turn right on time, and then I made that 9-degree right turn kind of parallel to the shore. And I just never left that buoy. And that was so hard, so frustrating. And then finally made it back to shore. It's a 2-loop course. And like, I got to go do that again. Like, it was awful. It was horrible. Oh, I hated it. And I had to go do it all again. And kind of what saved me was my good friend Joanna Namey was there on the beach. And she said, everyone is 20 to 30 minutes long. And it was just like, okay, this isn't me. that was a big relief that it wasn't just like, what? Because by then I was thinking, what on earth is wrong with me? Why am I just not able to swim? But yeah, it was just a crazy day. There were a lot of strong swimmers that didn't make the cutoff. There were folks who had never flirted with a swim cutoff that didn't make it. And then from there, you know, it's again, I was going for a goal. I had a time goal and I had almost done it in Maryland. And so, you know, I was shooting for it again there in Florida. And it was, I had told my wife something. She wasn't at that race, but we'd spoke the night before. And I said, you know, as long as I'm under this, and it wasn't like a super fast time, but I was like, you know, as long as I'm under that, I won't consider it a bad day. So I'm starting off a half hour plus behind, and now I'm behind on my nutrition. I've expended more energy on this swim, and then the bike was windy, and I actually didn't even turn in the bike time that I'd hoped. So then it was kind of like, you know, head into T2 and out on that marathon, and then I had that little voice in my head that what I had said was, you know, as long as I can go under that time. And so for me, it became a fight to do that. And that's what pushed me through. And man, so Florida is basically 6.5 miles out. You turn around, you come back, and then you do that again. And that fourth leg, that fourth, basically 10K from that last turnaround back to the finish, I knew I was on the clock. And it took everything I had. I mean, I was digging as deep. My time goal was busted. You know, the sun was setting. It was dark. But, you know, it kept me in it and I stayed and I'm so glad I did, because last year in 22, when I returned again, I had an even more aggressive time goal, and same thing. When I made that turnaround at, I don't know, mile 20 or so, I knew I had less than an hour. I forget the exact time it was, but I knew I had to run that 10K good, you know, and here I am, you know, at this point, 134 miles or whatever it is on the day. But I knew I had to buckle down. I had to run. And thinking back to the year before, saying I've been here and I've done this. I've ran this exact stretch in the amount of time that I have. So I basically have to do what I did last year. And at first I was like, man, that sucked. So I was not really, and it did. It really sucked. Man, getting there at the finish line. I had friends there at the finish line. Mike Riley was there. It was his second to last U.S. event. So it was great. So, gosh, again, not answering your question here, but, you know, telling a story. But totally. So it kind of came back to that. And I guess the lesson there is oftentimes those bad days are amazing lessons learned. So, you know, it's like you said, you either succeed or you learn. And I think that was really a case of both.
You mentioned triathlon community, about how just important it is, how big it is, how supportive it is. I think that is what's led you to your latest what's the best word to use? I guess goal that you've been working on. Talk about your new invention or your new what do you want to call it, John? Your brainchild that you developed, Tribe Triathlon.
Well, it's not mine. I'll say that. And that's really, I think, the essence of it. So over the last couple of years, I've really kind of had that passion in me, kind of like I did way back in my banking days. I was very focused, very busy, spending a lot of hours every week working within TriDot from a more administrative business development kind of a role. I was still coaching athletes, but I had a much smaller portfolio than I'd had previously. And over the last couple of years, you know, and really probably this last year in particular, I really had that desire to work with more athletes and focus more on that, spend more time. And really it was kind of two things that led to the availability of that. Is one, the TriDot app itself is really becoming, it really has over the last couple of years, very robust. In those early days, we were still building it. We were creating it. We were adding features and functionality. You know, now it has every functionality of every other training app out there and so many more. And then also the community and the staff around it to support it is very robust as well. Over 1,000 ambassadors now. There's over 20 full-time staff members, and they've been able to bring on some folks that are really specialized in what they do, as opposed to somebody who had a banking background and oftentimes where it was kind of winging it and figuring out things as I went. And so, you know, it's like the community is there, the app is there, and I, you know, I leave the staff in very good hands, and it just worked for me to be able to step away and focus on coaching and doing some other things around that. You know, it was kind of like, what do I want? And again, it came out of a conversation with my wife. And, you know, one of the things I've always talked about is how a word I've used to describe the triathlon community is tribal. and in a good way, you know, where we have these communities, you know, especially I will say probably 10, 15 years ago when I first got into triathlon, at least in the areas that I see, there were more robust, small clubs that were kind of geographically based. Again, I came up in the Houston racing scene, and there were probably a dozen really robust clubs and teams that were Houston based. And, you know, some of them were Houston's a massive footprint. So different areas of the city would have different teams, and, you know, they'd come together and you'd have all the tents at all the races. And it was those little tribes were coming together to be part of that big tribe. And then, you know, you'd have these national events like an Ironman race or an age group national, something like that. And then you'd see these tribes come together. But, you know, people, we're all doing the same activity. We have common values of competition and pushing ourselves, and we even dress alike. You know, we wear these kits, and you know, I mean, that's basically what a tribe is. And so I was talking with my wife, and you know, kind of thinking like I'm still very much associated with TriDot, still using the TriDot for my coaching and involved with different functions and activities with TriDot. But I did want to create something that was, you know, a little bit removed, and you know, just talking through things, and again thinking about tribe, you know, I was like, well, shoot, like tribe, T-R-I, like tribe, like five letter in the word and three of them are tri. And I was like, man, how perfect is that? And I felt like it really epitomizes what triathlon is about, is that tribe. And so my ambition for the tribe is to be a place where all triathletes are welcomed and encouraged. It's a place that it's, you know, like I would say the most tangible place is that there's a Facebook group, and the ambition for that Facebook group is to be a place where people can ask questions, where knowledgeable, experienced athletes can share their experience, where people can share their victories and share their defeats and connect with athletes either in their area, or maybe connect with an athlete that's going to be at a race that they're going to be at. So basically it's about that. It's about the tribe of triathlon and how do we work together to make each other better? Because I know for me, I have benefited so much both in my racing as well as my coaching from my peers. And I have so many rewarding experiences of the reverse of that, of investing in athletes, investing in coaches and encouraging people, building them up. And, you know, we can never have enough. There, sure, there are other great options out there, but I feel like we can't have enough of those. So, you know, so I'm operating my coaching business under Tribe Triathlon. I'm going to be doing a series of training camps across the US later, again, kind of under the Tribe moniker. I'm doing webinars headed into some of the larger key races. And so, you know, that's kind of what the tribe is for me. But again, kind of like everything else, it's whatever it is for you, whatever you want to kind of take from it and whatever you want to give back. That's kind of the tribe I have in mind.
That's awesome.
I want to circle a little bit back to my first experience with you, John, was cultivating the athletes with TriDot, with the I Am TriDot Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And when I saw Tribe, I thought, here's a guy that knows how to do this. And, you know, I immediately jumped on because I wanted to be part of that, because I know how passionate you are in creating that community, and really excited to see where this goes. So congratulations. It's really awesome. Great idea. And whatever we can do to continue to promote it.
Yeah, thanks. That I Am TriDot Facebook group is amazing. Currently over 15,000 members, which like... Wow. That blows me away, because again, that's it was incredible. Like me and a couple others. And yeah, it is a classic example of what I was talking about. An amazing group, highly engaged, very supportive, great source of information. And I would, you know, I would encourage everyone to go and join that group. You don't have to be a TriDot athlete. You don't have to have any association with TriDot to join that group. And, you know, again, just kind of one of those things like where you can't have enough positivity and support and good resources. So I think they very much work together. And so, yeah, check them both out.
This kind of feels like, I don't know, round three of you redefining your triathlon journey a little bit here. I know, I'm sure some of our listeners are aspiring coaches, and it sounds to me like you've got a lot of now experience in different ways cultivating a coaching business. What kind of tips would you give a brand new USAT certified coach and or Ironman U coach, and how to get going, and maybe one day leave their banking job.
Yeah. If you have the support, you know, like I did with my amazing wife, it's hard. It's scary. But man, it has been rewarding. You know, all these things I've talked about, all these amazing experiences, relationships, things I've been able to do are because my wife supported me and encouraged me, and we took that leap of faith together. So, I mean, regardless of what that is, obviously be prudent in it. And, you know, again, like for me, it was a slow process. It wasn't like just one day I said, hey, I'm going to quit right. this great career that I have and try to be a triathlon coach. You know, I built it to a place, and then I had, you know, even the relationship within the organization. So, you know, and kind of like where I'm at now, it's kind of same thing. Is it's been scary to leave the TriDot staff, but incredibly rewarding. And, you know, so I would say at least pursue it. Do your due diligence. Again, I'm a banker. so don't do anything stupid. Don't do anything crazy. But, you know, it's about risk, and risk is often rewarded, you know, especially when you have mitigated risk and you've done your due diligence and it's something that's viable. You know, I would encourage, you know, regardless of what it is, whether it's triathlon coaching or whatever else it is, just because I know for me how rewarding it has been, and for others, I've seen it as well. But as far as triathlon coaching goes, the one thing I said, I probably have mentioned this to Matt or he's heard me tell others, triathlon coaching itself is relatively easy. You know, it's a passion-based thing, and what's hard is convincing people to pay you to be their triathlon coach. So as you mentioned, it is a business, and a great saying of you either work in sales or you work for someone who's in sales. And when you're a triathlon coach, you know, unfortunately, it's a sales job. And, you know, if you don't have anyone to coach, then, you know, you're not really a coach. So I would say that is what I would say by and far, and Matt can likely confirm this, the biggest hurdle, especially when starting, but even maintaining a business in triathlon coaching is that sales aspect, is business development. And I was fortunate to come from that background. I mean, again, that's basically what I did in my banking career was business development. And sometimes sales are just, you're selling widgets. So it's either financial services or triathlon coaching. And for me, I was able to kind of transition a lot of those things and just had a knack for it. And, you know, so I think that's a big component to it, is just understanding that it is a business, and so sales is a big part of that, but then also business management in and of itself. You know, you're now self-employed and you have expenses, and, you know, not every dollar that you come in is, you know, a dollar that goes straight into the bank account for you to be spent. So it is a business, and I would say it needs to be approached as such. And so I would say definitely take that into consideration. That's not to be scary or anything. And again, you know, I started with one, and then I had two, and, you know, I had two for a while. And I know that's the case for a lot of coaches, but it does take work. It's a lot of farming to go out there, and it takes a lot of, even to this day, you know, there's still things that like those webinars I mentioned, you know, that's one way that I meet new athletes and have contact with athletes and get the word out there that I provide coaching services. So, you know, it's something that's never done. So yeah, as amazing as it is, rewarding as it is, it is a job, and there's a lot of work that goes into it. And, you know, I'm sure just like others, I can only imagine how rewarding it is to be like one guy coaches a trauma surgeon. Like, for him to go in on a shift and like save three people's lives is just a day in the office for him. And so I can only imagine how rewarding that is. But at the same time, I know how much hard work and sacrifice and dedication went into him in his education and his residencies and all that, getting to that place where he's able to do that and earn that reward. So it's like anything else. It's, you're going to get out of it what you put into it. And the harder the work, the more reward you're going to reap.
It's great.
That's awesome. Good stuff. Yeah.
I know one thing, John, that was particularly helpful for me as a young coach coming in was networking with you. You helped teach me a lot of the basics of coaching when it came to the business side, about networking with athletes and not to devalue yourself. I know you've made that comment to me many, many times when we've had conversations, is Matt, don't devalue or undervalue your services and what you have to offer, and making sure that you stay athlete focused, but also at the same time, taking care of yourself as a coach, establishing boundaries, establishing limits, and being there, but not being all there, and making sure that you focus on the other parts of your life. And I mean, I think that was some of the best advice you gave me in many of the conversations we've had when I've come with you with, I know I've called you several times, like, hey man, I got a question or I got a crazy idea. And it's always very balanced, almost like wisdom, like patriarchal advice, if you know what I mean. So, it's always been helpful. And I mean, just to echo on a tip for a new coach is find an experienced coach. I was fortunate enough to have John to kind of help guide me along the way. But I think, John, you would probably agree with this too, is find somebody like a mentor almost, like somebody can help advise, guide, give you advice to help you, because we learn from our mistakes. I've made mistakes. I know, John, you've made mistakes. It's just like anything in life. Learn from our little wisdom, you know, soak it up. Let us explain to you, well, you know, this really didn't work the way you're thinking this is going to go. It didn't work too well. So it's kind of like training. If it didn't work the first time, it may not work the next time.
And that's what I was going to say. It's very much like having a coach. You can go out on your own. You can figure out the things on your own. You can learn things the hard way, or, you know, you work with a coach that, you know, can give you those advice and help you avoid some of those perils. Coaches are passionate about helping people, and vast majority, whether that be an athlete or a coach that wants to start coaching, you know, I feel like vast majority are going to be willing and passionate. There's something in coaches that we want to see people succeed. We're passionate about sharing our knowledge and our experience. And I think the more opportunities we have to do that, just I think it's a personality thing for a lot of us. The more opportunities we have to do that, the more satisfied we're going to be. So yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of coaches out there willing to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else we want to cover?
No, this is great.
Yeah. We hit a lot.
Love hearing John's journey. And I know when I saw him at Alcatraz, just for those that don't know, I was in a world of hurt on the run. I either had probably swallowed a little too much salt water in the bay and had realized I drank virtually no water on the bike. And so by the time I got to the run, I was cramping in the gut pretty hard and fighting back tears, could not run. And John comes by. He said I was a rabbit, but that didn't last very long because he came by with Andrew Harley and, you know, asking how I was, if I was okay. I'm just like, go. Like, I was like, don't stop for me, you know, don't ruin your race. But anyhow, it was super sweet because he, you know, kept checking in, making sure I was okay. And then it was kind of nice because then they became my rabbit, like something else to focus on. Just try to catch back up with John and Andrew.
Yeah, so I did remember that correctly. I remember when you were ahead, you were having those issues, and yeah, at some point, Andrew and I were just having fun. It was like, that was the most fun run course, and we were just getting started, and here comes Matt the other way to the finish, and then we saw you shortly thereafter. I remember seeing both you guys relatively early in the run, and he and I, at first, we were just kind of just having a good time, and then I think you blew by us, and at some point, he started running faster, and I started running faster, and then he started running faster, and then we were able to close it out there together. So yeah, that was awesome.
It's funny you bring up Alcatraz, because I could probably say that was one of my most favorite races.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, just epic swim. And it's funny, John, you talked about your Ironman Florida experience coming out of the water and Joanna looking at you going, don't worry, everybody's off. I remember getting out of that swim, looking down at my watch and seeing like 43 minutes, thinking, well, crap, my day's over. Let's just throw down on the bike. And that's what I did. And I just went reckless on the bike. And it was shocking, because when the race was over, that's when we all learned that like everybody was about 10 to 12 minutes slower.
Yeah, even the winner was like significantly longer than he won back to back.
Yeah, Ben Knut won the year before and he was like 12 minutes. Yeah, that's what I remember. I was like, well, if Ben Knut's 12 minutes slower, like I did pretty well. I was all excited then. But this is after the fact. So, but
that always feels better. That's for sure.
That run course, though. Whew.
It was, gosh, I mean, I don't know how many different terrains and running through the old barracks and gun turrets and under through the tunnel and then. You know, run along the beach.
On
like,
the beach.
Okay, that sounds fun until you realize it's like a foot of sand. And then the sand ladder is exactly that. It's a staircase made out of sand and they time you. And I was like they're telling you, hey, you're going to be timed as how long it takes you to climb this. And at that point, you probably already ran 5 miles or something like that. But yeah, I mean, it's so cool. And what a unique swim, bike, and run. And I'm a junkie for like old prisons. Every time I go to Northern California, I go out to Alcatraz, you know, like Shawshank Redemption, all that are just like favorite movies. So to be able to combine the two, you know, just, you know, a love of old prisons and that sort of thing and a triathlon, that's, yeah, it was inevitable that I was going to do Alcatraz.
It was fun because I think we got it on a good year where they actually moved the race to August. So the water was probably 10 to 12 degrees warmer too.
Which was still plenty cold. It was cold. Yeah, that was good enough.
It was cold enough.
Oh, man. Anyway, well, John, this has been great. I personally can't thank you enough for coming on, just sharing your journey, your story, just, you know, learned a little bit more about you today than I knew before. And just obviously, I mean, your passion for the sport just... It's amazing. I think anybody that's ever had the opportunity to work with you as a coach, to race next to you, to learn from you, to work with you, I mean, just they're a better person for it. And I mean that wholeheartedly. So thank you again. And I mean, you've had impact on my life. I can tell you now that 5 years ago when our paths crossed, it's definitely changed the trajectory of my life. And I was sitting there thinking about that. And it's kind of like when you meet somebody in your life that changes the directions of certain things. And you definitely had an impact on that for me. So thank you.
Wow, that means a lot. Likewise, and same for each of you guys. It's a pleasure having gotten to know you guys and see what you guys have accomplished. You know, even starting this podcast and doing these kinds of things. Wish you guys all the best in the growth of the podcast and in your continued success in racing and all that. And look forward to many more years to come.
Well, thanks, Sean.
All right. Well, I guess we're going to close this one down.
Sounds like a plan.
That's virtual good. Hugs. Well,
yeah. Virtual hugs. Well, everybody, thank you for listening to the Triathlon Age Group Journey. You can reach out on Instagram at Triathlon Age Group Journey, and or email is triathlonagegroupjourney@gmail.com. And remember to leave us a review. Check it out on your podcast platform and, you know, give us a couple stars or whatever you feel. But we definitely love to hear from you and know what we can do. And we're really excited for the next month. The break was good. We've got a lot of great guests lined up and hope you're excited for it. So,
awesome.
All right.
Thanks. Have a good week, guys.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good week.